Jazz artist Dardanelle Hadley passed away in 1997. In tribute to her, the following is a rebroadcast of Piano Jazz, originally recorded in 1984.
Yeah, I must say, it's really a kick after all this time, Dardanelle, to have you here on the show.
I feel like I've been running around the world and finally landed in the right place at the right time, Marion, and I'm very happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad because we tried to find you when you were in Japan.
Yes.
And I'm glad you're back because this can really be, and I know it will be, a lot of fun. And I haven't heard you play in so long that I really wish you would start out with a solo.
All right.
For us.
I'd love to do one of Jerome Kern's pretty things. My penchant is to do pretty ballads, but I'd like to pick one that we can do a little bit of most everything with.
Okay.
All the Things You Are.
All right. That's nice. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a pretty song, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I've heard you do some lovely things, Marion, on this particular show, because I've been listening to you just about every opportunity I have.
Well, good. I'm glad we need all the listeners we can get.
Oh, you have a lot. I just did a safari down through the South, and just about everywhere I went, someone had been hearing one of your very nice programs with our favorite pianists. They mentioned quite a few of them.
Well, I'm glad that they hear them down there, and that makes me relieved, because then I know that they'll hear you when your show is on. Because you're from Mississippi, aren't you?
Yes, I'm from Greenwood, Mississippi, and I was just down that way and had a wonderful time with a real blowing stage band at Ole Miss. Did a concert down there.
You mean
there.
University of Mississippi.
Yes, uh-huh.
You forgive me, I'm from England. I'm not too up on those things.
Well, they call it the Rebel State, and that's Ole Miss is the Rebel College.
Are you still a rebel?
I'm somewhat a rebel. I'm a transplanted rebel, let's call it. Having lived in New York and New Jersey and Chicago and in New England, I'm a rover right now.
I remember when you were in Chicago. Don't think I knew you then, but my drummer at that time, Joe Morello, worked with you when you were on the radio at WGN.
Yes, he did. I was on staff then at WGN, was doing radio adult music and Polly Wally Doodles and Skip to Maloo's on the kiddie show while my two boys were growing up.
Well, I was just thinking, when you came to New York, did you ever play at a place called Dixon's on 52nd?
I don't know why that popped into my mind.
Because I remember when I came to New York from Chicago, and I was looking around and meeting people I hadn't met, like Barbara Carroll, and I remember seeing your name up on a marquee, and that just struck my mind that it was a place called Dixon's.
That room that you were speaking of had Joe Mooney was there in the other room with his wonderful quartet.
Right.
And I usually got a chance to listen to everything those wonderful guys did. They were so good.
Well, you've done a lot of things. You've had a lot of different groups, and in the past few years, you've made so many albums.
Yes, I'm album rich. I wish I were that money rich.
Well, I don't know. I think being album rich is pretty nice, and they're all very good albums. And
thank you.
You were showing me those, I guess, was it George Buck who found this one from years ago?
Well, George bought the World Transcription catalog, and he got everybody in the world in that. He did get Ellington, I think, and people I had really forgotten about. But at that time, we were all recording for World. Transcriptions were made for the radio stations. They were never sold for commercial use.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So when he bought that catalog, many of the things went in without any names on them. And, Marion, I'll have to tell you a funny thing about my particular work on that one. I did 36 tunes on Vibes. They were like an order for just vibraharp. And, of course, I didn't play 36 solos at night on Vibes, so I had to rehash my piano things and come up with just changing them over for me. The boys played the same things they did. So we cut 36 tracks, and there really was no name on there, but in playing them, Wendell Eccles down there heard way over in the middle of one of them when everybody was guessing about who was playing Vibes. I stopped the tape and said, "Would somebody please turn off the air conditioning? It's making too much noise." And Wendell said, "Now I know who that is."
You mean that was right on the transcription?
Yes, it was on the, well, because all of the outtakes, all the flubs and everything were there. in that master tape. And then another spot, it was very hard for me to remember who was on guitar, because we were doing it right at a time, at least I thought it was at a time when Tal Farlow had just left me. And having done so many arrangements similar, you know, when I changed man, we still played a lot the same. I couldn't tell. I listened and listened, and that's been a few years. So finally, on one of the tapes again, I said, Tal, let's do something. And that spotted its forest. So on this album, it's very funny to me. I got a laugh out of it when I heard it the first time. I sat there and laughed at myself, because we were playing such clean-cut, squeaky clean, wonderful
squeaky
arrangement.
Clean music.
Nobody missed a note.
It's funny, isn't it? Going back and hearing yourself years ago, things that you did years ago, and then realizing how you've changed. How about another solo from you?
All right. Since seeing as how piano has been my, I guess that's a terrible thing to say, isn't it? But it really has been a very special love for me, so I often think of it when I'm playing this particular tune, My One and Only Love.
That's a great song. That's a nice song, Donna. No, that is really a pretty one. While I'm listening to you and watching you, I was wondering if you started out as a classical player.
Well, yes, I did. And I guess maybe I started out as both. That really isn't true to say that was the one thing. Because, Marion, I came out of my cradle hearing my father improvise. And I'm sure I thought everybody did it. So I started out really playing pretty much wanting to play, and they tell me just playing. I don't remember when I learned to improvise or when I learned to play whatever we call it, pop or jazz, because Daddy was I like to call him a white Scott Joplin, because he was a planter, farmer in Mississippi, with no reason except just a great talent to play piano, and he and his two brothers had a 1,000-acre plantation to run. But Daddy came in and just through the love of the instrument sat down in the afternoons after whatever they did in the daytime on the farm. He came in and played for hours. And I heard that, and then when I started studying, I had nothing but classical training. But I guess it's all run sort of parallel, concurrently. I've been doing both of it. And I had a teacher who didn't mind. She said as long as I cut the mustard in her work, then I could do whatever I wanted to do with mine.
Well, that's great. So, because I did practically the same thing. I heard my mother play, and that's what's got me playing. So I guess you just practically jumped out of the cradle and started swinging away.
Well, I had another advantage, too, and I'm dying. My woman's curiosity is killing me, and I don't know where to go to sate it, because my father's sister was a concert pianist, was trained from someone in Yazoo City, Mississippi, was a concert teacher, and she was died quite young, but they had brought a three-quarter key piano up the Mississippi on the paddle wheeler and up the Yazoo River to Greenwood and brought it out to the plantation. And I learned
a three-quarter key.
The keys on the piano were three-quarters wide. It was an 88-key piano,
oh,
but
goodness.
It was from France. And
that would be hard to play, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be hard to play now. It's the same thing I find when I jump on a set of vibes that have narrow keys, and some of them do. Some have narrow bars, and it just throws you for a spin.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 5 or 6 years old, 4 or 5, you can reach like crazy.
Not only that, nobody's told you that it's hard and it's impossible
no.
or something.
Well, see, they were small. The keys were small enough so that with my little fingers, I understand the Yamaha people in Japan are making that three-quarter piano again, three-quarter key piano again.
Sort of for kids.
For little kids, uh-huh.
That's great.
Sure.
Well, let's us do a duet.
I'd like that very much.
I would, too.
Are you going to set the pace?
I'm going to set the pace.
All right.
And if you don't like it, you can change it.
I'll just fold
this
in.
This is stereo. I'm on the left and you're the right.
Sure.
And I'll start it out.
You do it.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or listen online from our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is made possible by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for this episode's original production was provided by a grant from Exxon Corporation. Support for the digital archiving of Piano Jazz was provided by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior.